Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves here. You can bring up anything that you want. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And we've got a Skype username as well. The Skype username here is lrn.fm. Coming up, forced catheterization. Mark, you're going to be telling us about where and why that happened, because apparently that happened. And also on the way, let's see here. We got all kinds, just all kinds of stuff to talk about tonight, and I highly doubt we're going to get to most of it. Of course, you can always take control of the airwaves. You can bring up anything you want. How about the girl who peed on the American flag? She's causing a bit of a stir.
I bet.
Already receiving death threats after having posted a video to Facebook, which she's subsequently removed, apparently. And I hear a rumor.
Seems like a really poor choice.
There's a rumor she might call in. I didn't set this up. Half the time when I set up guests, they don't call, so this is why I don't ever talk about guests calling in advance. But somebody told me they talked to her and, you know, asked her to call in. I don't know. I don't know if that means she will. But anyway, that's, you know, making headlines, making the social media posts and so on. So if you want to join us, you can. You can bring up anything. Skype username lrn.fm. Ian and Mark in the studio here tonight. But one of the big headlines, and we should talk about the Philippines too, because there's some, as always, crazy news out of the Philippines. There's even crazier news out of Venezuela with a rebel guy who stole a helicopter and dropped grenades on like the Supreme Court building. And he's like a cop, like a former cop.
Yeah. Okay.
Fascinating development coming out of Venezuela, the crumbling socialist hellhole. Kind of a surprise on that one. But anyway, let's start with this exclusive from Medium.com and Insurgent Intelligence. The story coming from a crowdfunded investigative journalism project for People and Planet. They call themselves Insurge Intelligence. Tom Secker and Matthew Alford report on their astonishing findings from trawling through thousands of new U.S. military and intelligence documents obtained under the Freedom of Information Act. I got this headline from WikiLeaks. I follow their social media presence and saw them post this yesterday, and it looks fascinating. The documents reveal for the first time the vast scale of U.S. government control in Hollywood, including the ability to manipulate scripts, which we knew they could do that.
Well, I knew, I guess, I find this unsurprising.
Me too.
But
some people might be surprised by this.
Yeah, I think that they are. I probably don't know the depth to which it goes.
That's what I think this is going to be. You know, if it's surprising to us, I think that's what might surprise. We'll see.
What I knew was, essentially, you can make a pro-war, pro-government, pro-U.S. government movie, and they've got F-14, you know, Tomcats and F-18 Hornets.
They'll give you whatever equipment you need, so long as you give them the script.
You get out there. They'll get you out on the aircraft carrier. You want some tanks busting over some sand dunes?
We got it
for you.
Yep.
You want a troop of bullet catchers shooting up some stuff?
And that's a big savings when you're making a movie and you need, you know, militaristic props. You can either do what the military says to do with your script, and then you get it for free, meaning the taxpayers are covering the cost. Or if you don't do what the military wants you to do with the script, well, you're on your own. You can call up whatever suppliers there might happen to be, whatever independent, you know, Johnny over, you know, in Texas who's got a tank in his shed or whatever, some tank collector, and he's known to, you know, rent it to the highest bidder to anybody who wants to shoot a movie. I mean, there are some people who will do that kind of business, but you better believe it's a limited inventory, a limited, you know, amount of types of things that you can get your hands on.
Sure.
How many old tanks are still operating out there that are in the hands of private owners?
Sure, you know? Can get them from the collectors, but let me ask you this. If you get a collector to give you a tank and it's, you know, they presumably are going to ask something about the script, right?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it depends how much of that money they want. It's going to cost you. That's the thing.
It's going to cost you, but likely, like, look, most tank collectors are going to be flag-waving folks, right? So if you want to do your anti-war movie and you want to have something, for one, you know, a Sherman tank is going to be very useful for you unless you're doing some kind of flashback to World War II. Mm-hmm. Two, you're going to have a very small segment of people who are both A, tank collectors, and B, anti-war advocates.
No doubt. No doubt about it. But, you know, even if you can find somebody, they're going to charge you a pretty penny for it, and the government isn't going to. So the financial incentive is to just do what the government wants you to do. So we've known that they've been doing that. We've known that they've been looking at scripts, but now they're really getting the dirt on this particular activity. They're also able to prevent films that are too critical of the Pentagon from even being made, and not to mention influencing some of the most popular film franchises in recent years. This raises new questions, not only about the way censorship works in the modern entertainment industry, but also about Hollywood's little-known role as a propaganda machine for the U.S. national security apparatus. The story from Medium.com here. When we first looked at the relationship between politics, film, and television at the turn of the 21st century, we'd accepted the consensus opinion that a small office at the Pentagon had, on request, assisted the production of around 200 movies throughout the history of modern media, with minimal input on the scripts. How ignorant we were, writes the authors. More appropriately, how misled we had been. We've recently acquired 4,000 new pages of documents from the Pentagon and CIA through the Freedom of Information Act, and for us, these documents were the final nail in the coffin. They, for the first time, demonstrate that the U.S. government has worked behind the scenes on over 800 major movies and more than 1,000 television titles. The previous best estimate in a dry academic book way back in 2005 was that the Pentagon had worked on less than 600 films and an unspecified handful of television shows. Instead, it's more than 1,000 TV titles.
Jeez.
The CIA's role was assumed to be just a dozen or so productions until some very good books by Trisha Jenkins and Simon Wilmots were published in 2016. But even then, they missed or underplayed important cases, including Charlie Wilson's War and Meet the Parents. Alongside the massive scale of these operations, our new book, National Security Cinema, details how U.S. government involvement also includes script rewrites on some of the biggest and most popular films, including James Bond, the Transformers franchise, and movies from the Marvel and DC cinematic universes, which you're a huge fan of the Marvel movies, Mark.
I am, and you're a Transformers guy. Do you like
movies? No, I'm not a fan of the movies. I will see them because I like robots and things that go boom,
yep.
But they're not particularly good movies.
Okay. Well, my son loves them, and he talks...
Did you go see the new one?
Oh, did I go? No, I'm not going to the theaters these things. Gotcha. He can't convince me to go to a theater.
To spend $30 or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, on the short side, whatever it is. But he does like to talk about, he likes to see the Transformers movies. He wants to see them over and over again.
Oh, good.
He talks about his Uncle Ian's love of Transformers incessantly while these horrible works of cinematography are going on. He asks me about what I think about this thing or that thing. And I keep telling him, I think this is god-awful. You know, I think Michael Bay is one of the worst directors in the world. You know, like, I just keep on going, but whatever. He's oblivious to anything I have to say about them because he just loves them.
Yeah.
And it turns out some of them turn into giant dinosaur monsters, too.
Yep. So, National Security.
Speaking about the Marvel and DC movies, I would encourage anyone to go check out Winter Soldier. It's the second Captain America movie, and tell me that thing's pro-government.
A similar influence is exerted over military-supported television, which ranges from Hawaii Five-O to America's Got Talent, Oprah, and Jay Leno to Cupcake Wars, along with numerous documentaries by PBS, the History Channel, and the BBC. Nationally, I gotta say, this is, you know, somewhat surprising list of titles there. America's Got Talent, Cupcake Wars. I mean, the government's gotten their hands into all this. I always just thought it was, you know, Transformers, where there's obvious military equipment or whatever being used. So we're going to get into some of the dirty details here in moments, and you can share your thoughts with us on Hollywood and their deep, ugly connection with the U.S. federal government before the first shot of any movie is ever even filmed. They've gotten their hands all over this stuff, apparently. 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, 855-450-3733. Skype on in here. It's Skype username lrn.fm with you in the studio tonight. It's Ian.
And Mark.
We're going to talk more about the Pentagon and just how deep they have gotten into Hollywood and, you know, script writing, getting their hands on all kinds of stuff that maybe you didn't think they were influencing. I got to say, I didn't expect to see America's Got Talent or Cupcake Wars. I've never seen Cupcake Wars, but it sounds like something that's on the Food Network, right?
Sounds like red, white, and blue cupcakes to me.
So, you know, I don't know. Normally, when it comes to military involvement in movie making and film or TV production, I always thought it had to do with the ones that wanted to use tanks and bombers and, you know, military equipment
to get
shots of that. So we're going to get into that further here, but let's go to your calls and thoughts. First, we have Stefan. He is on the line in Ohio via Skype. Go ahead, Stefan. Stefan in Ohio.
Whoops, sorry about that.
There you are.
Austin Peterson actually confirmed yesterday what a lot of us had been speculating. He is apparently running for the Senate seat in Missouri against Claire McCaskill.
Who cares?
But there's a catch.
Austin Peterson is the was a person who was running for Libertarian Party candidate for president.
He lost.
He lost to Gary Johnson in 2016, as did Daryl W. Perry, one of our co-hosts here. Austin Peterson sort of took up the banner of those that were sort of more big tent, to the point that he believed that the...
Were the people who supported him more big tent than Gary Johnson? I mean, it seemed like a fight between Peterson and Johnson for the big tent crowd, right? Like they were the top two vote getters, were they not? And
sure,
they were
Peterson
the ones-
had the advantage of never having been at least a candidate for any other party, whereas Johnson certainly was a Republican governor of the state of New Mexico two times.
However, Peterson was noteworthy in a terrible way because he specifically has come out and advocated for the abolishment of the non-aggression principle as the founding bedrock principle of the Libertarian Party, the principle that all who join the Libertarian Party must sign their name to in order to have their membership accepted in the party. He wanted to get rid of that. I mean, this guy... I think it's great news that he apparently has left the Libertarian Party. I heard that he was running as a Republican.
Yes, he is running as a Republican. Well, and
why should anyone care about that?
Because whether anybody likes it or not, a lot of libertarians or people who claim to be libertarians absolutely go nuts over this guy because they think
he's
the one. Yes, a lot of them go absolutely nuts for him.
Why? What is it about him?
The most common argument I hear, because one of my good friends is an Ohio delegate for the Libertarian Party, and he voted for Peterson. And what I find funny is his argument is, well, he's the most professional. He acted the most presidential. He can bring us to actual victories if he were to be the candidate. But it's like you championed him as the Libertarian hero, yet now he's running as a Republican. Which
surprise! Yet another one of these Libertarian, you know, with quotes around it, candidates who decides that it's more politically feasible to go into the Republican Party where they probably came from in the first place. Just like, you know, Wayne Allen Root, he was the guy who ran for the vice president for the Libertarians. He was the nominee for vice president for the Libertarians in 2008, along with Bob Barr, who was the presidential nomination. Just an embarrassing year for the Libertarian Party, the same year that I publicly resigned my membership in disgust for how far away from their principles the party had fallen. I mean, he's also since rejoined the Republicans. Thank goodness. I don't want these people to stay in the Libertarian Party, but it does show what their true colors were the whole time. These are political animals. These are people in search of some sort of level of recognition. They couldn't get it in the Republican Party as soon as they wanted it to, so they jumped over to the Libertarians to try to make a name for themselves. And I say good riddance to bad rubbish.
I think that what Peterson's advantages were was that he's young, and that means that he could run many many different presidential elections in a row to build name recognition. Secondarily, he doesn't have a lot of skeletons in his closet.
How do you know?
They would have come out at this point.
Would they
right?
have? He didn't get the nomination.
He didn't get the nomination, right. But
there's probably not a whole lot of skeletons that come out during the Libertarian nominating process. Just because there's so many Libertarian candidates and so few Libertarians in general.
All right.
Oh, they'll come out now.
The skeletons weren't out on display.
Now that they're out in...
Let's point out that...
didn't he say
I'm
something?
I'm on Adam Kokesh's campaign, but at least we don't have to hear about Austin Peterson's parking lot masturbatory practices, right? Like, there's things that sound presidential
so
and things
instead,
that don't.
Do you think it's presidential when Austin Peterson comes out? And I can't say this on the radio, so I'm going to have to self-censor it, but it's my understanding he bragged about how he was drowning in the P word.
Yeah, the P word. Yeah,
the
oh.
P word.
Really, from the radio?
Regarding how great he is with women.
Okay.
I guess is the idea, or how misogynistic he is towards women. That if that got out into the mainstream media, that's a pretty bad sounding quote, wouldn't you say?
I wouldn't say it's
not
as,
very presidential.
It's certainly not as bad
that's,
as
that's
grabbing
Trump
them.
Level. And, yeah, I would
no,
say that's
no,
Trump
it's,
level.
No, it's not as bad as grabbing them well, by that.
It's almost as bad.
And I don't think it's as bad. Almost as bad. It
shows a certain attitude.
It suggests a voluntary. It does.
Yeah.
It absolutely does. It suggests a voluntary aspect to it, whereas the Trump quote does not.
Well, one thing that hurts Peterson's credibility as well is I watch a lot of his live streams. I mean, that's just how I
Why?
Am.
What does he do that's interesting?
I Tom, like you're so defensive.
I'm not defending. I'm asking. Why is this guy so interesting? I mean, he has a website. So what?
I listen to a lot of people I disagree with. Heck, I'm a very avid watcher of the Young Turks.
Okay.
But the thing, and plus, I originally used to like the guy until I heard more of what he had to say.
Well, the Young Turks put on a good show. Like, they've got good production values. What's this guy?
Oh, yeah. Well, Austin came out, and one of the things that kind of hurts his credibility is he literally said, I am going to win my way to the Senate seat with dank memes. He literally said that.
Okay. So he's looking for the 4chan vote?
Yeah, he's pretty much trolling. Okay. I think he's trolling. Daryl and I had exchanged a few messages back and forth about this earlier, and he said that he'd put $20 that he doesn't even win the primary because he does not have the money to take on the Republican machine.
You need money, and I guess he's trying to fight against that. That's it's a real difficulty. Look, Austin Peterson seems to want to get to elected office, and that seems to be really important to him. You need to look at these. Each one of these situations needs to be well planned out. You need to be prepared to move to the right district, be in the right state and all those things. Good luck to him. I think he'll probably make a better candidate than most Republicans that are out there. Mm. I just don't, if he thinks he's going to take on somebody who's well-funded, and I don't know the specifics of this. I really don't. But if he thinks he's going to with dank memes, I hope him I wish him the very, very best.
I was saying, this is the last thing I'm going to say, it's better he lose a Republican primary than win a Libertarian primary.
Thank you for the call tonight, Stefan. Appreciate it. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves. You can bring up whatever you want. More on the way about the military and their manipulation of Hollywood. This is Free Talk Live.
Tired of spending hours hunting down the day's essential political news and views? Let Tom and Steve at Rational Review News Digest do it for you. Visit rationalreview.com for free, hand-curated news, commentary, and audio and video content. Choose from web, social media, and once-daily email editions. We've been the Freedom Movement's daily newspaper since 1991. Come find out why at rationalreview.com.
Talk Live, You can dial on in here toll free, bring up whatever's on your mind. The number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. Freedom's Phoenix is a liberty-oriented news aggregation site. If you want the newest and freshest stories and perspective on current events from those who value liberty, then freedomsphoenix.com has it. I suspect they are not taking any military money.
No, they're not.
Their daily dispatch is the best way to stay up to date on science, technology, historical findings, liberty news, government overspending, and the rise of the police state. Freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. That's freedomsphoenix.com. So it's Ian and Mark in the studio here tonight. Back into the story about the media, and specifically Hollywood movies and television shows, and how deep the military influence over these productions actually is. We're going to get into that more, but first we go to Tom in New Hampshire. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Yeah, there's a news story. CNN puts it out. It calls it a New York Police Department officer killed in an unprovoked attack. As if, you know, you can go sign up to commit all manner of enforcement of blatantly unjust laws, and that's not provoking the public, the victims of these unjust laws. But let me just point out that, okay, if you do something wrong, like parking a crosswalk, and you have to pay the price in dollars, it doesn't make any difference which serial numbers or which Federal Reserve Bank issued which notes that you're paying the price with. And when they, the cops murdered Philando Castile in Minnesota, and then the system failed to bring that murderer to justice, and the system is paying the price, it doesn't make any difference which badge number or which department issued it. They're all enemy officers.
Well, so the system did pay the price, the system being the taxpayer.
Isn't it $3 million?
$3 million went to the...
But the cop didn't.
No, the cop did not.
Nope, you're right about that.
He got fired, but that's...
He doesn't have a job as a police officer, but that could change.
He could get another one from another department.
Because he was found, he was found not guilty, if I'm correct, on all four counts, including manslaughter in the Philando Castile case. But, you know, at the same time, it doesn't look good that the that Minnesota had, or excuse, Minneapolis had to settle with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what else they got to do? Like I've been saying, the orderly system, instead of, you know, somebody taking out a random New York Police Department policewoman, is the copper rule. Like I've been saying, is that first of all, whatever's the maximum that a human could get for committing the same crime against a copper, that's what the copper has to get for doing that crime against a human, because it's more serious when they've got the whole department behind them. And it's just like armed robbery is a more serious crime than shoplifting something of the same value. And also, the cops have to be considered guilty until proven innocent, because they control the collection of evidence. And a lot of people are scared to be, quote, caught, unquote, video recording the cops. And I'm putting caught in quotation marks, because of course they have every right to be videographing the cops. In the, it's, what are the cops trying to hide here? So that's what I wanted to bring up is, you know, hey, at least the price was paid this morning in New York City. And so
what happened? Was there a shooting?
Yeah, there was a police officer shot in an unprovoked attack. I don't think
so-called unprovoked attack.
So-called unprovoked attack. How do you think that helped anyone anywhere?
Well,
like, I understand you're angry, and I understand that the police, in many cases, you know, the police departments, the police are assigned to do tasks that are antithetical to the ideas of liberty. But how did that help anyone?
It puts the bureaucrats on notice that if they don't straighten out the cops, the undertaker will straighten out the cops.
But they've been being shot for, you know, what, there was the Dallas shooting last year where there
they
was
don't
like
act
six
like
cops.
On notice.
There were like six cops that
they
got
act
shot.
They're like they're on alert.
New York City, this isn't the first time, wasn't it last year that a cop just got iced in the streets of New York City, you know, for purportedly for no reason. So this is, you know, not the first time. Did they not get the notice last time?
It seems like it just turns them into victims, and that a certain percentage of the public, you know, rallies around them, you know, therefore bolstering the victim mentality that they have. Tom?
Yeah, well, it does, but the crazy people, of course, the crazy people will never learn their lesson until that, you know, like, you know, if what used to be when I park all night out in front of my house. So all night parking was a $5 fine. And when I went to bed and then I remembered I left my car out there, forget it. It's only a $5 fine.
Right.
Then they raised it to $25. And then I started realizing, oh, I better get up, get dressed, and go out and move my car, because the higher the price, the more of a deterrent it is. And I think that, you know, when they eventually more people are going to realize, especially if they read the full text of Patrick Henry's Liberty or Death speech, and nothing else is ever going to work, then I think you're going to see more of it.
When you say nothing else is ever going to work, you're suggesting that violence is the only solution to the problem of police violence. And I have a fundamental disagreement with that, Tom, because violence begets violence. It's just going to continue a cycle of violence.
Plus, they've got the equipment. You know?
They've got equipment.
You've got numbers, but they've got equipment.
You don't have numbers. You don't have enough.
You're right.
This was one of the complaints that an activist up here was making online the other day, was that there are too many cops. There's no hope for liberty because there are too many cops, and he was sort of beating around the bush at the idea that what would solve this problem is if people got violent with the police. No, that's not going to solve the problem, because all it's going to do is attract an even more violent type of cop that knows that they're going to be able to, you know, crack some heads and get away with it, because that's what the job will require. As the risks become greater and greater, the people willing to take those risks are going to be the more intense personalities who are looking for a fight, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, the other part of it is, you know, they say you got to educate the voters. The other solution, you say violence isn't the solution. The other solution, however, can only be implemented by, you know, somehow we're supposed to educate all these fat, stupid, ugly old ladies that watch soap operas and play bingo and read tabloids and don't know the metric system, who keep waddling off down to the polls and voting wrong. And the only way to educate them is to teach them a lesson. And that is educating them. And so
you think you should go shoot some elderly old ladies too while you're at it, since you're teaching lessons?
No. It put them on notice.
How's that going to teach them anything if you shoot a cop? If you shoot a cop to death in front of an old lady, what's she going to learn from that?
That she didn't pull the trigger, but she pulled the lever when she voted wrong. She voted candidate who are soft on police brutality, and this is the price you got to pay for electing candidates who are soft on police brutality. You're going to wake up the next morning with no police protection. So stop voting wrong.
Tom, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Don't agree with the assessment, but
no, I
appreciate the discussion. I think it is not an uncommon viewpoint that there are a lot of people who are like Tom, who sort of, they relish the violence against the police. They themselves are not willing to actually go out there and commit it, and I think that's good. But they always talk about it in such, you know, glowing terms, and, you know, they want people to do it.
In some fantasy world where maybe you could get some percentage of the population, and I don't think you need a huge percentage, but, you know, call it 0.1% of the United States population.
Okay.
And to rise up against the police state and fight, you know, some kind of guerrilla war against law enforcement. In that fantasy world, then maybe it would work. But the problem is with that, and I'm not, you know, I am not advocating for this. I'm simply doing a thought experiment with it. The problem with it is that you can't get those people to do something all at the same time.
Sure.
There's no, you know, once you put together an organization where you can be the general that sends, all right, today's the day. We hit them hard.
Right.
And we
you
hit them
fast.
You guys
move around their flank.
Right. You know, whatever it is that you do as a general, that organization would have been infiltrated long before you
That's
ever
true.
Put it together.
Yep.
Your butt would have been in jail before you were ever able to say, let's hit them hard, hit them fast on their flank or wherever it is that the general wants to hit them.
Yeah, that's a great point. And there are plenty of examples of, you know, very small groups who were plotting allegedly some violence, and they almost always have had a federal agent in there at some point.
Every single time.
More coming up here, 855 450 free like freedom. Well, not every time, but most of it. It's Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live, and you're invited here to join us on the radio, where you can take control of the airwaves. You can bring up anything at all that you want here. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. 855-450-3733. Skype in here. It's Skype username lrn.fm. If you want to help build a better financial system for everyone, you ought to join Dash. Dash is digital cash. It's a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast, private, and easy. Fees are low and transactions are fast and can even be confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for just pennies on the dollar, and the fees are a lot lower than Bitcoin. Dash is decentralized, run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. Join Dash and help create a better financial future for everyone. Take back control over your finances today. Find out more at Dash.org. There's a lot of momentum behind Dash right now. Go to Dash.org and find out why.
I was just checking out DashForceNews.com, mm-hmm. and there were a couple of articles that caught my attention. Cryptocurrency rises in Asia. Wide adoption soon. And this seems to be something that's happening. There's a lot of cryptocurrency adoption going
on in Asia.
Yeah. Japan's coming to mind. And then another one on how Dash governance incentivizes prudent decision making. And Dash really does have different governance than other cryptocurrencies out there. And I think that's one thing that really sets it apart.
Sure does. Learn more at Dash.org.
Well, this is DashForceNews.com is where I was getting this.
Right. Let's go to Patrick in Bullhead City, Arizona, listening to K-Tox. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, guys. I'm pulling over for this,
man. Uh-huh.
This is for Guido Tom or Goodfellow Tom out there. Hey,
the caller.
I wake up every morning at 3:30 in the morning. I kiss my wife and I tell her I love her because I don't know if that's going to be, if I'm going to ever do that again.
Hmm.
Put my
and you're a
life
cop.
On the line. Yeah, you know that.
I'm just letting our listeners know.
I put my life on the line every day so that people like him can feel safe. I have no control over other officers other than the ones I'm initially working with. But the fact is that is just crazy talk.
People, it seems like crazy talk to me. It doesn't seem like you're going to get anybody on your side.
You mean when Tom was talking about killing police?
Right. Tom's plan doesn't seem like it has any legs whatsoever. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was just crazy. I mean, you caught me getting right off of work, and I'm listening to this. I had to do OT.
Take your breath
today,
away, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was.
It does.
I'll tell you. I almost had to pull over to the side and just get out of the car and stomp my feet because that's the type of people I got to deal with on a daily basis. They have no sense of, I'm just doing a job. It's not me against the world. It's not us against them. I'm out there to protect and serve. I've been doing this a long, long time. I wish I didn't have to do this, but I got bills to pay. I got a wife to support. I got a family to support. But I have one thing to Tom. Why doesn't he tell that to that three children that officer had and let her know why she got shot?
This was the one in New York?
Yeah, she got blindsided. She was getting off of her shift doing a report, sitting in one of those, surveillance-type vans that mm-hmm. they used and the high crime areas to keep people safe. And she was doing a report and some guy came up beside on the window and blindsided her and executed style her in the head.
Jeez. Wow. Patrick, thanks for calling and sharing your thoughts here tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE-LIKE-FREEDOM. And I know that there were police who did get into you know, the business, if you want to call it that, of policing, because they do actually want to help people. They do, you know, want to go after real bad guys.
I really hope that that's most of them.
And you can't tell which ones are the, you know, corrupt, evil cops by just looking at them. And Tom believes that they're all evil just by, you know, virtue of the fact that they work for the police department, that they must be, you know, as he describes them, an enemy officer or whatever. And I don't think that's true at all. We've had the police, various cops call into this show over the years, and there are a number of cops out there who they will look the other way if they find a, you know, young person with marijuana or, you know, 12-pack of beer or something like that, or they'll dump it out or whatever. You know, they won't put somebody in handcuffs for what other police will put people in handcuffs for. So not all police are the same. They don't all behave the same way. They aren't all overtly disrespectful to your face. You know, some of them can be. Some of them can be rude, and some of them can be very obnoxious, and, you know, they wield their power in a very vindictive and nasty manner. Those people exist. But to just say that all cops are the same, I mean, it just shows a lack of real understanding of the fact that they're people, they're human beings. And I used to think similarly to Tom. I did. You know, when I first moved here, I had a chip on my shoulder about the police.
Frustrating to deal, you know, day in and day out, to look at the news stories that we look at. And when you're talking about the government, I mean, who's the enforcement arm of the government?
Well,
domestically, it's police, right? So it's frustrating to deal with a bad government over and over again, and the enforcement arm being the police. And then, you know, at some point you come to the realization, after you've talked to enough of these people, that, hey, they just got into this in order to help people. And now, you know, I mean, like any person who's in a job that has usually government jobs that have good benefits, a higher than, you know, market wage. And, you know, it's frankly, government work slowly sucks the freaking soul out of you.
Yeah,
and it's really, really, really tough. But people don't know what to do about it. I don't have a good advice. A friend of mine has a government job right now. He wants to quit, but he does not
benefits
feel...
Benefits are real good, though.
Yeah, he does not feel like he can and still make the same kind of money. He wants to do something entrepreneurial. As a person who's had a few businesses fail up to this point, I question whether it is a good idea for him to give up a job that's paying him over $40K a year, plus benefits that probably raise it to another $15,000 right there, and to just run off and try something, you know, to see whether the public likes it or not.
Sure, there's a lot of risk involved
in that. Very, very difficult.
But that's true for anybody with a job. I mean, that's
also
a true statement.
When you begin to vilify people, you make it an us and them. The you know, if this election hasn't shown us one thing, it's that if people keep on getting sort of vilified and pushed into a corner, they're going to turn into the monster that you said they were in the first place. Like, we've got a lot of people running around and acting like racists and homophobes and blah, 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 that likely would not be doing those things today if it hadn't have been for the way that, you know, they were called a basket of deplorables in the first place. So, a little advice. Just take it easy. Realize that the steps to liberty are likely not going to go as quickly as you like, and you're not going to raise an army to fight, you know, the government.
No, it's not
domestically.
Happening.
Not in a place where people have food and mortgages and all that other stuff. They're not going to put everything on the line.
They're hungry in Venezuela, and things are just now, you know, getting pretty heated over the last several weeks. But
we've been talking about
the
Free State Project for about a dozen years here on Free Talk Live, and we can't get people
to move,
to sign up, and just move to a different place,
right,
let alone be prepared to catch a bullet.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So you got to come up with some other method. I get the anger. I really do. I used to hold that anger myself. I don't anymore.
Same here.
I don't anymore. I've let it go since I, you know, was able to connect more personally with the police here in the Keene area and realize that they are human beings. They're people just like the rest of us, that they're doing a job that in many cases has them doing immoral things. So like a lot of humans, they've made a mistake in some ways. They are making mistakes by,
like every human,
right, by going after, well, unfortunately their mistakes affect other people. So when you normally in your life, when you make a mistake, most of the time you're just going to damage yourself But in the police's case, their mistakes are the ongoing continual arrest and persecution of peaceful people, and that needs to stop. But getting violent isn't going to bring peace. It never has. Maybe for the short term, but ultimately you're sowing seeds that you're going to reap some very ugly things from.
Here's what I ask of police. I ask that you study the ideas of liberty. You can listen to Free Talk Live, or you can go for other places. Find out what these ideas mean. Conduct yourself as best you can within the confines of your job along those ideas. And, you know, talk to your friends and neighbors about these ideas. Don't react terribly when people talk about, competition in the area of security. And really, that's all I'm asking from a police officer or any government bureaucrat.
We got time for you. If you want to join us here, our toll-free number, 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live, Hour 2, coming up.
You have probably heard about Bitcoin and virtual currencies, but you really don't know what to do next. Maybe you feel like they have already passed you by. Nothing could be further from the truth. Bitcoin is an emerging technology still. It's still in beta and it's sweeping the globe. All the information that you need to learn about Bitcoin is at Bitcoin.com. Go to your browser, type in Bitcoin.com, choose a wallet program, get Bitcoins, and then spend Bitcoins. Bitcoin.com, the only site you need to know for virtual currencies, Bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free. Bring up anything that's on your mind as we launch into the second hour of the program. Still to come, more about the American military and even the CIA and their influence over Hollywood movies and television productions. It's Ian and Mark in the studio here with you tonight. Our toll free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. And we've got Skype as well. It's Skype username lrn.fm. Let's go back to the phones and to the fun where Don is on the line calling us from Oregon. Don, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hi, guys. Thanks for being there. You reminded me of a comedian that said, in no way do I recommend violence, but it's highly effective, and I suggest you use it. And, you know, I noticed that you guys are spending this back to the personal, where you're saying these cops, these guys are good guys.
I'm not saying all cops are good guys. I'm saying some of them.
Well, no, I hear you.
Yeah, some got in for the reasons I think that are good reasons. That doesn't mean they're always doing the right thing.
Right, and some of them, probably most of the trouble ones, are on steroids.
And, there's a chance of that.
I've seen it in the newspaper. Well, anyway, what I wanted to call about was about the character of men who become police doing it to help other people. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of Ambrose Bierce from over 100 years ago. He wrote a definition for sheriff. It was about a page and a half long, and it started out, John Elmer Pettibone KG, he was as bad as he could be. And then it goes on to describe how if he saw somebody doing something he didn't like, he would burn their house down in the middle of the night with them in it, or put them in a bag and set it swinging and turn a goat loose on it, or such. But I think what we're really talking about here is of a higher order than the personal. And, you know, granted, they're people doing their jobs, but we're talking about a social problem, something of a higher order. And by golly, I might almost... Oh, the point I was calling about was not too long ago, there was a book called The Mystery of Capital by Hernando de Soto. Fascinating book. They spent an hour on it on Democracy Now. And what the guy was... Well, one of his chapters was titled 200 Years of Shooting the Sheriff. And it explains the reason why America... Well, when we left Europe, when we left England, it was a feudal state, and you were pretty much owned. And the reason America is different and the beacon of light unto the world kind of goes back to this chapter where when these feudal lord types were causing problems with the peasantry, they would show up in the courtroom and take out everybody.
Take what? Everybody?
How we got They would take on everybody. They take on the judges. They take on the lawyers on the wrong side. Justice, how they say the arc of justice bends towards
freedom.
No, the arc of history bends towards justice.
Right.
And that was part of it. And sometimes the only thing that works is violence. And especially, it's, well, I think you know where this applies. I'm running out of steam here.
Are you advocating violence? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that sometimes it's the only thing that works. 40,000 heads got cut off at the French Revolution. It wasn't going to change without it. If you read...
Which revolution?
The French Revolution. About 40,000 heads got cut off, and the proper explanation begins with a book called Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. Chapter 1 is about John Law and the introduction of paper money into Europe and why these people got their heads cut off for the shenanigans they pull. And sometimes it's really your only option. I'm sorry.
Well, I understand that it's your option when you're being attacked. So if somebody violently comes at you, you certainly have the right to use violence to defend yourself in that particular case. But these people who are advocating
evil too.
These people who are advocating the murder of police are the kind of people who claim that, well, the police are always a violent force, and so therefore
who advocates that? Who
the guy who called earlier tonight, a gentleman named Tom in New Hampshire, he's the one who.
Oh, he was brilliant. He was brilliant. However, he's not advocating the murder.
That is what he's advocating. Thank you for the call tonight, Don. We've had him call enough times in the past, and he's absolutely advocates that. He beats around the bush at it. He won't come right out and say that he wants people to do that, but that's sort of the gist of his phone call.
I think that he's come out and said it.
Maybe he has.
In the past,
maybe.
Too.
He certainly glorifies it. He loves it.
I think it's interesting. I'm much more interested in the caller's sort of arc of history and how people had to die to bring around more justice. And I think that statement is far less impeachable than sort of what Tom's saying. Yes, people must die in order to get people to pay attention. Now, I would ask you this question. Philando Castile died, sadly, a concealed carry permit holder.
Shot to death by a cop.
Shot to death by a police officer. Is it possible for society to look at that circumstance, to humanize Philando Castile, rather than saying a young black male, right? Like to humanize him in a way that shows that this guy was stopped innumerable times. Well, not innumerable, 49 times,
yep.
Six times for which would have appeared to be legitimate stops. That means that essentially the other 43 stops were sort of illegitimate.
Driving while black.
What it would have been like to be this guy, and then finally this guy who worked as a cafeteria, worker,
yep.
Who got a concealed carry permit holder, who was in the car with his girlfriend and her child. I'm not entirely clear on the relationship there, and shot dead over reaching for his wallet right after being asked to reach for his wallet.
That's right. After telling the cop he had a gun.
Is it possible to pound that story home to the point that people are able to see what is happening out there? How the system is, just nasty when it comes to, thinking cops are always right. Thinking that, for whatever reason, being male is a death sentence. Being black is a death sentence. Being these things makes you less, more likely to do things. Statistically, I get it. Males commit significantly more crimes than females commit. I understand. But that doesn't mean that every time a male reaches into his pocket, somebody should shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
And especially after being told to reach into his pocket. So that's what my goal here is to, take the deaths, take the news stories, use them every single day to bend that arc of history.
We could do it every day.
We do it.
We don't do bad cop stories every day.
No, no, no. I said take the news stories.
I thought you meant about bad cops.
Well, what I'm saying is we take news stories every day and we attempt to curve the, you know, history curving towards justice, just to pull the curve down a little bit more so that people see it over and over again. And frankly, you don't have to have listened to Free Talk Live very long to get some story of some person who's taken the time to call in and say, you changed my opinion on this thing or that thing, you know, and I'm going to amplify the show or whatever it is. We can see that happen. We've seen that happen so many times. I keep a list of them, and that list is, you know, longer than I can print. And the sole purpose...
Sounds like an exaggeration, but that's very nice.
Well,
very nice.
I couldn't put it on one page. How's that?
Okay.
You know, the whole purpose of that is so that I can show people, look, this makes a difference. This show is activism that makes a difference. And if you want to be involved in that, if you think that's valuable, you can go to amp.freetalklive.com. That's AMP as in advertise, market, and promote, Free Talk Live. And you can help us get on more radio stations, get more podcast listeners, and bend that arc of history a little more towards justice, because that's our only goal here.
Well, where else do you have talk radio where you can hear in one moment somebody who wants to kill the police, and then the next moment an actual cop call in and respond? I think there's some value to having that conversation.
It sure is.
We're not censoring those viewpoints. The only thing we're going to censor on this these airwaves are certain words that the FCC just doesn't like very much. Your ideas are welcome, whatever they might be, even if they're wrong. 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. It is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. Dial on in here, toll free. Bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, too. You can Skype in at Skype username lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
As we go to your phone calls and thoughts, it's Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I just heard from the news that, you know, Bursky Labs, the Russian computer company.
Kaspersky.
Kaspersky. Kaspersky, I don't know. But they were known to have Russian spies working in their company. And so, I heard him talk on the radio, but it's like, my thing is that they're contributors to NPR. Okay? The thing is, the NPR is a communist radio station, and that's what I listen to. So what's the big surprise? I'm not surprised at all.
I love how Sarah just came right out and admitted that NPR is a communist radio station.
I'm completely befuddled. So first off, NPR is not communist. NPR is probably center-left, if I could describe them as anything. Secondly, the Soviet Union wasn't communist, even though they had a communist party. And I don't know if you even know what communist means.
Well, communism is about the state owning everything instead of like...
Nope, it's not.
Like the oil companies, the BP owning the oil, like privatized oil, it belongs to the state.
Right.
And the money is supposed to be shared among
What do you mean it's not, Mark? Under communism, there's no private ownership of things.
State ownership of the means of production is the way that it has been taught to Americans, is state ownership of the means of production is socialism.
Sure, but it happens under communism, too.
No. Communism suggests that there is no need for a state, and that
that hasn't actually happened.
Agreed. Communism is the heaven of some sort. Yeah. Is a utopia.
Every communist
is completely unachievable.
Right. Every communist country has still had a state. They've never abolished the state.
Right.
Right.
Well, what communist country? What country has been communist? What country
let's
has
see.
Even claimed
communist
it?
Russia, communist
no.
China.
Union of Soviet Socialist Republic. It had a communist party.
Yeah.
Was the party that claimed to lead it, but that party never would never have claimed that they achieved communism.
I get what you're saying. You're saying that there's this sort of ideal of communism versus the reality of
right.
communism.
Marx, I think we're going to call him the father of communism,
Fair enough. The
father of Marxism, would have claimed that what you needed to do is achieve socialism, and then the need for the state would wither and die. which is ludicrous. But nonetheless, that would have been his claim.
But, you know, what I'm saying is that I remember when I listened to NPR, they would say, you know, they would advertise Bernisky, the Bernisky Lab. I'm familiar with that name, the company, because I heard it over and over time, because whoever they donate to their company, they would say so-and-so donated money and so forth. So I heard that name constantly, so I'm not surprised at all. And the NPR is a socialist, left-leaning news. And they're anti-Trump, anti-petroleum, and they always talk about the electric cars and environmental issues.
They talk about electric cars and environmental issues. I'll give you that statement. The rest of it, I think, is interpretation about what NPR is about, and I'm not sure that I concur with you. I'm a big NPR listener. I wouldn't call myself a socialist by any stretch of the imagination.
Are they friendly towards Donald Trump?
No. I wouldn't say that they, but it's not their job to be friendly towards Donald Trump.
Were they friendly towards Barack Obama?
I think that if you look at their editorial stuff, like their shows on the weekend, like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me or something, you'll find that, oh yeah, there's a more of a liberal bend here. But when they're doing news reporting, these people are very, very good about providing a unbiased news reporting. They, however, you can see what they report on tends to be sort of more left-leaning. But Free Talk Live could underwrite NPR tomorrow on a national level, and if we had enough money, we would be that name just like Kaspersky Labs, just like you were hearing, just like the Ford Foundation.
What would that cost?
Oh, it'd be astronomical. Yeah, they're very, very expensive.
I add one thing is that Obama was saying that the Russians were meddling in our elections to help Hillary Clinton elected, and that's what I told you, that I'm a communist and I was advocating and pushing for Hillary on this show constantly. So when they said that turned everything around and then the Russians were for Trump, that was a complete fake news, because they were infiltrating to get Hillary Clinton elected, because she'd be the most weakest and easy to push around president.
Now, I think that the Russians probably, you know, as I understand it, Vladimir Putin had a vendetta against Hillary for what he considered to be some sort of perceived slight in the past.
Mm. Sarah, thank you for the call tonight.
Okay.
What? No, what?
No, I mean, I heard it two times that Obama admitted that they were trying to get Hillary Clinton elected. That was the meddling part of it.
Okay.
But, you know, the fake news get put out there. And I told you that I called in the show that I'm a communist and I am for Hillary. So what you guys talking about?
And you also believe that there are, as we learned last night, people living on the moon. Thank you for the call tonight, Sarah. Appreciate it. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves. You can bring up anything that you want. I mean, so the headline that she's referring to about Kaspersky Labs, I did see the story, I think, yesterday or the day before that.
Yeah, it's not really a Free Talk Live kind of story.
Well, it's apparently that there have indeed been some ties within the Kaspersky Labs with the Kremlin. They did apparently have spies, former spies, on their staff, and I guess that's like, you know, a big deal to some people. I mean, the former spy's got to do something, right? If you used to be a spy and now you're not anymore.
Now you're not.
You know, maybe you can lend your expertise to a security company, perhaps. I don't know. I don't really feel like this is, you know, a big deal. I guess some of the concern might be that Kaspersky Labs, you know, could be spying on you or whatever. But are you really? I mean, to me, I'm not as worried.
So is the NSA.
Yeah, I'm not going to worry about the Russian government spying on me, because, you know, they're not going to arrest me and throw me into jail for some sort of trumped up charge. They can't. It's the U.S. government, the state governments, the local governments. They're the ones, when they're spying, that we ought to be concerned about, because they're spying and they're going to use that information against people. That's what they want. They want data. They want information about you. And, you know, they're the ones that, I mean, I'm not saying trust the Russian government, but they're not the ones who are throwing people into gulags in this country.
Russians, don't trust your government. I mean, indeed. You know, like, if you're living in the geopolitical designation of a particular state, then that state is far more danger to you, in all likelihood, than some other state.
Then whatever the boogeyman like Kim Jong-un that we're all supposed to be so afraid of, out there. It's the U.S. government that's arresting peaceful people, that's oppressing freedom, that is, you know, just taxing people to death.
Kim Jong-un is no sweetheart inside of North Korea.
No doubt. But outside of it, he's an, you know, he's just a boogeyman to be
They
feared.
Did make ICBMs this week.
They did. 500 miles or something like that. One of them flew, right? The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. We'll talk more about the U.S. military and Hollywood and their ugly relationship on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
Dash is digital cash, a digital currency designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy, fees are low, and transactions are confirmed instantly. Pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime, for just pennies on the dollar. Dash is the first digital money that's governed by its users. Join Dash and help us build a better financial system for everyone. Find out more at dash.org. That's dash.org.
It's Free Talk Live. You're invited to join us here on the radio waves and take control of them to bring up whatever is on your mind. That is the point here of the show with you in the studio tonight. You've got Ian.
And Mark.
Also, Bitcoin.com's the most unique online destination in the Bitcoin universe. Not only can you buy Bitcoin by going to Bitcoin.com, you can also play games with your Bitcoin at Bitcoin.com. They've got a forum where you can get interactive with other Bitcoin users and cryptocurrency fans at forum.bitcoin.com. You can get the latest news about Bitcoin and the Bitcoin universe at news.bitcoin.com. And if you're brand new to Bitcoin, it's a great place to get started, to learn the basics about what Bitcoin is, what makes it special, the fact that it is the world's first distributed, decentralized, open source cryptocurrency, and it's incredible. You can learn a lot more about it over at Bitcoin.com. It is the one-stop shop for everything you need to get into Bitcoin life. That's Bitcoin.com, and they are now offering their Bitcoin mining pool as well, which we're going to be talking more about over the next few weeks or however long we're going to be talking about it, because it's going on for quite a while, this mining pool plan. They're selling lifetime contracts in this mining pool. You can get shorter contracts, too, if you want. You can basically contract out and have Bitcoin.com handle the mining for you. Because if you don't want to, like, have a mining rig that's constantly whirring in your, you know, a rack in your house that is generating a bunch of heat and chomping up electricity.
And getting old.
Yeah, and getting old, then you can let Bitcoin.com, pool.bitcoin.com, take care of that for you. Or if you've already got a mining rig and you want to point it at a new pool, let's say one that'll pay you out 120% of the mining reward, then you really ought to look at pool.bitcoin.com. So check that out too.
Yeah, I actually spoke with Sterling Lujan, who is a writer over there at Bitcoin.com, about his thoughts on segregated witness and the Lightning Network today on the Edgington Post. I have to edit that a little bit. It was a long bit of audio, and I want to massage it a little bit to make it more listenable. But nonetheless, if you go to where is it that people can sign up for Edgington Post?
Feeds.freetalklive.com.
Feeds.freetalklive.com.
Like RSS feeds. That's where we have links to all the various podcasts that that we offer there. So, yeah, check out Bitcoin.com. Great site. They're doing good work. Back to the news or the story, this big news story from Insurge Intelligence. Over at Medium.com. This is about the 4,000 pages, new documents that were released from the Pentagon and the CIA via the Freedom of Information Act that a couple of the authors here, Tom Secker and Matthew Alford, authors of a book called National Security Cinema, dug through these documents to learn to the great extent of what the U.S. military's involvement in Hollywood productions has been. You know, we knew they were involved. We knew they held the purse strings on productions to essentially control the scripts on military movies. Like, oh, you want the military to provide you with some jets and tanks so you can shoot, you know, movie footage of them. Well,
you want to put together a movie like Top Gun?
Yeah, you got to provide them with the script first, and they got to give give their approval,
sure,
or give suggestions to how to change the script in order to get their approval so you can then get the equipment. And that's what we thought it was. But apparently it's gone further than that. The story here says the influence has also extended over television and hundreds more movies than previously were thought to be the case. Thousands, apparently, over 1,000 TV shows and hundreds of movies, including Hawaii Five-0, America's Got Talent, Oprah, Jay Leno, and Cupcake Wars, along with numerous documentaries by PBS, the History Channel, and the BBC. National Security Cinema also reveals how dozens of films and TV shows have been supported and influenced by the CIA, including James Bond's Thunderball, Tom Clancy's Patriot Games, and more recently, Meet the Parents and Salt.
Do people have a positive view of the CIA?
I bet they do. They probably think they're keeping us safe.
I don't know. I know that people have a negative view of the United States Congress. Somewhere between 10 and 15% of people have a positive view of the U.S. Congress. And I kind of think the CIA is probably above Congress but below the Supreme Court. As far as positive views, maybe somewhere around the president's rating at any given time. The president has an advantage of sort of having a face, whereas Congress is faceless. So
majority of Americans think torture was justified, according to previous polls.
That doesn't mean they like CIA.
It's about the CIA.
Yeah, I understand. But the CIA is, as an organization, has been pretty roundly vilified by Hollywood, if you get what I'm saying.
Uh-huh. Sure. Well, there's frequently, you know, movies like, I don't know, Born Assassin or whatever.
Right. Born Identity is got to have shattered whatever was left of CIA's capital, as far as it goes, social capital. The NSA, on the other hand, doesn't seem to have the same problem. They're more seen as a data collection organization.
The CIA did help, by the way, to make an episode of Top Chef that was hosted at Langley, featuring then-CIA director Leon Panetta, who was shown as having to skip dessert to attend vital business. Was this scene real? Or was it a dramatic statement for the cameras? When a writer or producer approaches the Pentagon and asks for access to military assets to help make their film, they have to submit their script to the Entertainment Liaison offices for vetting. Ultimately, the man with the final say is Phil Strub, the Department of Defense Chief Hollywood Liaison. If there are characters, action, or dialogue the Department of Defense does not approve of, then the filmmaker has to make changes to accommodate the military's demands. We knew all this. If they refuse, the Pentagon then packs up its toys and goes home. To obtain full cooperation, the producers have to sign contracts, production assistance agreements, which lock them into using a military-approved version of the script. This can lead to arguments when actors and directors ad-lib or improvise outside of the approved screenplay. On set at Edwards Air Force Base during the filming of Iron Man, there was an angry confrontation between Mr. Strub and director Jon Favreau. Favreau wanted a military character to say the line, quote, "People would kill themselves for the opportunities I have," unquote. But Strub objected. Favreau argued the line should remain in the film, and according to Strub, quote, "He's getting redder and redder in the face, and I'm getting just as annoyed. It was pretty awkward," and then he said angrily, "Well, how about they'd walk over hot coals?" I said, "Fine." He was so surprised it was that easy, unquote. In the end, this compromised line didn't appear in the finished film. It seems that any reference to military suicide, even an offhand remark in a superhero action comedy adventure, is something the DOD's Hollywood office will not allow. It's understandably a sensitive and embarrassing topic for them when, during some periods of the ever-expanding and increasingly futile war on terror, more U.S. servicemen have killed themselves than have died in combat.
Yeah, that's true.
But why shouldn't a movie about a man who builds his own flying suit of armor not be able to include such jokes? Another one-line quip that was censored by the DOD came in the James Bond film Tomorrow Never Dies. When Bond is about to halo jump out of a military transport plane, they realize he's going to land in Vietnamese waters. In the original script, Bond's CIA sidekick jokes, quote, "You know what'll happen, it'll be war, and maybe this time we'll win," unquote. This line was removed at the request of the DOD.
Now, the Department of Defense did not lose Vietnam. The State Department did. The Vietnam War was essentially over when the Washington pulled its support. Pretty much everybody who went there and fought and died in the Vietnam War can say we were winning when I left. But it was Washington D.C. because
they're still covering for him. The DOD here.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Strangely, Mr. Strub denied there was any support for Tomorrow Never Dies, while the preeminent scholar in the field, Lawrence Swid, only lists the DOD connection under unacknowledged cooperation. But the DOD are credited at the end of the film, and we obtained a copy of the production assistance agreement between the producers and the Pentagon. Vietnam is evidently another sore topic for the U.S. military, which also removed a reference to the war from the screenplay for Hulk in 2003. While the military are not credited at the end of the film on IMDb or in the DOD's own database of supported movies, we acquired a dossier from the U.S. Marine Corps detailing their radical changes to the script. This included making the laboratory where the Hulk is accidentally created into a non-military facility, making the director of the lab an ex-military character, and changing the code name of the military operation to capture the Hulk from Ranch Hand to Angry Man. Why do they do that? Well, we'll get into it here in a moment. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Strange change, right? What was that all about? This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. It's Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733, and we've got Skype as well. You can Skype on in here at Skype username lrn.fm. The Free Talk Live forum is available to you. It's kind of experimental. I don't know. Maybe we can't really get people to join a forum, but some people have actually joined, and they are interacting over on forum.freetalklive.com.
They're over there.
Jackwagon showed up there last night, our caller from last night. So you never know who's going to pop up on the Free Talk Live forum. So head on over. You can get interactive. It's free. It's forum.freetalklive.com. Ian and Mark in the studio here tonight. We're talking about some of the modifications made that the U.S. military has been changing, Hollywood movies and television shows. They've gotten their hands on scripts and have had some pretty significant changes made to some of them in order for those productions to get their approval, to get their funding, to allow them to use military equipment. But they haven't just been doing that to like military movies or movies with obvious use of military equipment. They've also done it to, you know, TV shows and movies that don't, Cupcake Wars on television or the Meet the Parents. I don't recall any military scenes in that movie. That was a comedy film, wasn't it?
What do you think I'd have to give up here on Free Talk Live to get some military funding for this show?
I don't think that they would even really consider it.
No, I can't imagine that they would.
Too much history. You know, they want to have control over everything from start to finish. I would expect if there's already been an ongoing production that hasn't needed the military funding for their first two episodes, and they've been critical of the military. Military projects would turn them down, you know. Anyway, back to the story here about the Hulk. Mark, you're a big Marvel movie fan. They told the writers, the producers, that they had to change the code name of the military operation. Well, first of all, they had to make it non-military, the facility where the Hulk was accidentally created. It was going to be a military facility. They were forced to change that.
Which makes sense.
And they then changed the code name of the military operation to capture the Hulk from Ranch Hand to Angry Man. That's a strange little tweak, right? I mean, why would they change that? Well, apparently Ranch Hand was the name of a real military operation that saw the U.S. Air Force dump millions of gallons of pesticides and other poisons on the Vietnamese countryside, rendering millions of acres of farmland poisoned and infertile. So I guess they didn't want anybody remembering that particular episode.
I see. Yeah.
They also removed dialogue referring to, quote, all those boys, guinea pigs, dying from radiation and germ warfare, unquote, an apparent reference to covert military experiments on human subjects.
I'm kind of interested how the military, I didn't note that Colonel Thunderbolt Ross, who they promoted to a general in the movie, was ex-military. I thought he was absolutely military at that point.
It's possible they got something wrong, Mark. I don't know. It's an older movie. It's more than a decade old.
I mean, Thunderbolt has been a colonel for longer than I've been alive, and at some point turned into Red Hulk, actually.
The documents were obtained that they were The documents they obtained further revealed that the Pentagon has the power to stop a film from being made by refusing or withdrawing support. Some movies such as Top Gun, Transformers, and Act of Valor are so dependent on military cooperation, they couldn't have been made without submitting to this process.
Yeah, how could Top Gun possibly exist if it wasn't for the U.S. Navy's cooperation?
Others weren't so lucky. The movie Countermeasures was rejected by the military for several reasons and consequently never produced. One of the reasons that it is that the script included references to the Iran-Contra scandal, and as Strub saw it, Strub's the military DOD guy who is the ultimate authority on approving or disproving of scripts. He said, quote, "There's no need for us to remind the public of the Iran-Contra affair," unquote. Similarly, Fields of Fire and Top Gun 2 were never made because they couldn't obtain the military support, again, due to politically controversial aspects of the scripts.
Top Gun 2 wasn't made because of a politically controversial... Interesting.
That they weren't willing to change, apparently. The soft censorship also affects television. For example, a planned Louis Theroux documentary on Marine Corps recruit training was rejected, and as a result, was never made.
I wonder if Top Gun's the whole characterization behind Maverick's father thing that was really weird and didn't make much sense. I wonder if that was as a result of military meddling. Hmm. Because in the Top Gun movie, Maverick, has to live up to his name, right? His dad was a really great pilot, but didn't exactly follow orders. But he did. Turns out he did follow orders, and he did something really brave. But the military needed somebody to blame, so they blamed his father. And he's here to prove something good and stuff, right? Like, it was just it was weird.
Seemed cockamamie to you?
It just seemed. I mean, it was the worst part of a really great movie. Huh. If you go back and watch it, the acting's a little stilted. But I tend to think that 80s acting was just a little stilted, in my opinion.
It's impossible to know exactly how widespread this military censorship of entertainment is because many files are still being withheld. Again, they looked at 4,000 pages of information.
So these weren't leaked documents?
The Freedom of Information Act.
Okay.
The majority of the documents were diary-like reports from the entertainment liaison offices, which rarely refer to script changes and never in an explicit, detailed way. However, the documents do reveal that the DOD requires a preview screening of any project that they support and sometimes makes changes even after a production has wrapped. The documents also record the proactive nature of the military's operations in Hollywood, and that they're finding ways to get involved during the earliest stages of development, quote, "when characters and storylines are most easily shaped to the Army's benefit," unquote. The DOD's influence on popular culture can be found at all stages of production, granting them the same kind of power as major studio executives.
Oh, yeah, they've got that kind of power, sure.
Despite having far fewer cinematic assets, the CIA has also been able to wield considerable influence on some of the projects that they have supported or refused to support.
I would imagine that if the military and the CIA have the ability to change a movie... because of funding, they have the ability to change any movie that any particular studio puts out as a result. So let's imagine for a second that you're the same studio that puts out Top Gun, and then you want to put out some movie that has some verbiage in it that the military doesn't like.
But they don't need the military for an equipment.
Right. But they don't need it for that one, right?
Yeah, they can put pressure on,
for sure. And then they can say, look, you want to put Top Gun 2 out, well, we're going to need you to change what's going on
over
in
there.
That movie.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Now, there's no formal CIA script review process, but the agency's long-serving entertainment liaison officer, Chase Brandon, was able to insert himself into the early stages of the writing process on several television and film productions. Brandon did this most prominently on the spy thriller The Recruit, where a new agent is put through CIA training at the farm, an obvious vehicle for inducting the audience into the world and giving them a glimpse behind the curtain. The original story treatment and early drafts of the script were written by Brandon, though he's only credited on the film as a technical advisor, covering up his influence on the content. The Recruit includes lines about the new threats of the post-Soviet world, including the great villainous justification for a $600 billion defense budget, Peru, along with rebuttals of the idea that the CIA failed to prevent 9/11, and it repeats the adage that, quote, "the CIA's failures are known, but its successes are not," unquote.
Mm.
all of this helped to propagate the idea that the agency is...
I tend to think that that might be a true statement, right? Like the CIA's successes don't get touted. You know, it's just one of those things. It's, if you're going to be fair, that seems fair.
All of this helped to propagate the idea that the agency is a benevolent, rational actor in a chaotic and dangerous world.
I don't know whether it's a benevolent or and rational actor. I tend to think that if it's got humans in it, it's not. And, you know, that what they do is so, you know, obscured from us. How in the world am I ever going to be able to make that assertion? How am I, as a voter, a person who is supposed to be, you know, we the people, the suggestion is that we are the government. How am I going to make a rational assertion about what the CIA does, whether it's good or bad? And be able to vote for a candidate that would be there for or against the CIA.
You don't have any information.
But I don't have any information. I mean, I just have to vote for a candidate. I'll think that's a good candidate because the media has portrayed to me something.
You just
got to
take their word for it. You trust the government, right? Well, hey, we say we're doing good things.
Of course I trust television. They're not in any way manipulated by the military-industrial complex or the CIA.
Well, the big question
here. Wait a second. That's the story we're reading.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, you know, okay, freedom of speech. Yeah, we supposedly have that here. And sure. You know, you can get on the radio and criticize the government, no doubt about it. But even the radio people experience this level of government kind of influence over their productions, where if you criticize the local police department, guess what? The police chief's not going to come on your morning show anymore to do the, you know, weekly hour with the police chief or monthly hour with the police chief or whatever it is. And so it's the same level of kind of influence, just at a different you know, different stage. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. So do you really have freedom of speech when the government has the ability to get in there and make changes to scripts in movies and television shows? There's a little bit more coming up here, and you can share your thoughts. Hour 3 is on the way on Free Talk Live.
This is Riley Blake, producer of the Free Talk Live Daily Digest. In addition to the Digest, I host my own weekly podcast called Anarcho Agenda, providing you liberty-oriented content without all the statism. Subscribe to Anarcho Agenda on iTunes, Google Play, or visit anarchoagenda.libsyn.com. That's anarchoagenda.libsyn.com for further details.
Is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, that's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. We got on the way here tonight. Mark, you wanted to talk about forced catheterization. Is that right?
That's right.
All right, we're going to get
into
that.
It's as bad as it sounds.
Yeah, where did it happen? What happened? We'll give you the details on that. For those of you just tuning in, we're going over kind of a summary of what is apparently a whole book about the U.S. military and the CIA, the federal government, and how influential they've been over Hollywood productions. Maybe more so than some people had thought. There were
More so than just about everyone had ever imagined.
Well, we knew they had some influence over, you know, stuff where they were using military equipment, but it's even more than that, apparently. Hundreds more movies than
pervasive.
People had previously thought, and they poured over 4,000 pages of documents to glean some of this information. They're sharing some of it in the story at Medium.com from Insurge Intelligence. And at this point in the story, it's about the CIA and their influence. Now, we knew about the military. We didn't know about the CIA. They've managed to censor scripts and remove or change sequences they didn't want the public to see on Zero Dark 30, for instance.
Well, and I want – you were asking a question that I thought was very, very relevant, but perhaps could be stated just a little more you know, presciently. So – how can you, as an American voter, do your job? How can any of us do our job of picking the best leaders of this country when the information that we are being given, the entertainment, the very molding of our minds is being done, you know, in secret by the clandestine intelligence agencies. Agencies who in their charters say that they will not work within the United States are molding our media.
That's a great point. The CIA is supposed to work outside the U.S.
Right. Okay, so the American people, this is just another ho-hum story, right? Oh, that's interesting. Oh, well, I guess we'll move on. But look just how insidious this is. And I would ask you, what can I possibly do about it? A clandestine
make your own movies.
Organization funded by my tax money has lied. It has gone completely against its charter. Mm-hmm. The people within it will not be punished.
No.
I can't do anything about it personally other than talk to listeners who will do nothing about it.
Right. I mean, it's not like any of us are going to stop seeing Hollywood movies.
Right. Are you going to stop seeing Hollywood movies? Right. Are you going to stop paying your taxes? Are you going to call your congressman tomorrow and demand that the CIA is disbanded?
Yeah, that's
going to
happen.
Exactly what are you going to do about this?
You just got to be aware that, you know, you're being fed something.
Right. Here's the question I critical. Have for you. At what point do you decide that the government is an agency that is actually evil? Like, I've gotten to the point where I have just about stopped giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Give them the benefit of the doubt?
I'm willing to give some people who work within the government the benefit of the doubt.
But as an agency,
as an organization, they've got momentum in the direction of evil.
Absolutely.
Okay? Look, I'm not saying that the United States government is evil and all the other governments are good. By no
means.
They're
all evil.
I'm saying they're all evil, and the United States doesn't deserve a pass. You've been lied to, people. The CIA is molding your mind through your media, and you don't care. You know why you don't care? Because your mind has been molded through the media for your whole life. This is Top Gun we're talking about. Yeah. I was in high school when this thing came out.
Not just Top Gun. Meet the Parents. We're going to get into that.
I don't know when that is, but what I'm saying as a time frame, you can't even claim, as an American citizen, to have been basically older than this, like old enough to be, to
non-influenced,
avoid this.
Yeah. It's been going on for a long time. I suspect this has been going on for many decades.
And, I mean, any other story, don't forget, on Saturday night, we will do a story where people call in and say, you just hate the government. You just hate them. You're all twisted up in the brain and you hate them.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to have to listen to that. I'm going to try to make as relevant and clear arguments as I can against this. But yes, I hate the government, people.
Well,
you're insane.
Hate only hurts the haters.
Ian,
so I don't hate.
These people have banded together to steal our money so that they can go against their own charters, lying to us and molding our minds.
It's very wrong.
If you don't hate them, you're messed
up.
No,
I'm sorry. I don't hate.
I hate
is unhealthy.
Okay.
Hate is bad for you, and you can.
No. Well, that's a stupid statement. Okay.
No, it's not. It's the truth.
Wait. Let me go on. Okay. Yeah. Look.
They don't care if you hate them, Mark.
No, they do not care if you hate them. That's,
so it only hurts you. It only tears you up.
Well, they do care. Otherwise,
inside.
They wouldn't be.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
They care because they're trying to change our opinions through the media.
Sure, they would prefer to be liked, but ultimately, whether you hate them or not doesn't really matter because you're going to pay their taxes anyway.
You love to make this statement that hate only hurts the hater.
It's true.
It's
true
not
statement.
True, and it's dumb, and I'm going to point it out to you, okay?
Okay, sure.
Okay, so when
I don't
you
feel
at,
dumb.
When you look at positive action, when you look at actions, right?
Yeah.
They're either moved by positive feelings or negative feelings, right?
Okay.
Is hate a positive feeling or a negative feeling?
It's pretty negative.
Okay.
About as negative as you can be.
Excellent. So,
which is why it's not good to be there.
Right. Yeah. But would you agree that negative emotions are more likely to get movement to cause things to happen than positive emotions?
I see what you're saying. You're saying
positive emotions. I'm thinking contentment, satisfaction, joy, love, peace. These positive emotions.
Sure, people seek comfort and they avoid discomfort.
Okay,
right?
So in order to seek comfort, you must be uncomfortable.
I'm not saying that you should love. You know, like
no, I didn't say
smother
you were.
With kisses.
I'm saying that that hate has a place and that. If something is sufficiently evil, you should truly hate it.
No, I reject hate. I think that it just does damage internally to you. It doesn't do any good on changing the object of your hate. It doesn't fix their problems. It doesn't make your relationship with them better. I think that ultimately
you're not going to make relationships better with an organization that goes directly contrary to its its charter.
I want to not have a relationship with those people. There's no doubt about it. But that doesn't mean that I have to feel hatred towards them. I can still be motivated by the terrible things that they do, but also understand that these are just, you know, they probably don't believe they're evil, right? So, like, when we look at it, we see what they're doing is as evil. They're destroying innocent life around the world. They're imprisoning, you know, countless Americans for peaceful, you know, acts. I mean, so there's all kinds of just evil things that they've done. But they do it in the belief, likely, that they're helping, that they're, you know, making the world a better place or whatever.
So did the Nazis, you moron! Yeah. Like, they were going to get rid of the Jews because the Jews were bad. They were doing what they're doing because it was hard and to make the world a better place.
And it
was
wrong.
That's the kind of, that's what evil is. Evil is the pursuit of what you believe is good, but the misguided pursuit of good.
Through any means necessary, through violence, through.
Evil is the misguided pursuit of good. Evil is the misguided pursuit of good.
Well, I mean, look, people who are misguided, you know, should have a chance to be forgiven. They should be able to make their wrongs right.
Ian, I didn't advocate going up and shooting any CIA officer,
goodness.
You know?
But hate is what keeps somebody in a place. If you stay in a place of hate, then you're going to generate the kind of attitude of the people who want to use violence against the state.
So hate is an uncomfortable feeling, and you're saying that you must move from that uncomfortable feeling to another uncomfortable feeling in order to be motivated to do something to prevent the depredations of the state. Is that what you're claiming? Because that's a different statement than you should not hate. What you're saying is that your hate should evolve into something else.
Yeah, I think that if somebody feels...
Should something else be a positive emotion or a negative emotion?
It should be less negative. You should move away from
so
the least negative
just
places.
Just define hate in a narrow view of sort of like seething hate. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, hate is just hate as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
I think a nice step up from that would be to pity these people. They're, you know, a sad bunch.
Do you feel motivated to, you know, help people you pity to change their opinions?
I don't care about changing their opinions. I just want them to leave people alone. There's more coming up here in moments.
I don't pity them then.
855-450-FREE. Free Talk Live, you may dial toll-free and join us on the radio. Here our number is 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, 855-450-3733. We got some more on the way here about the CIA's influence now over Hollywood, but we're going to your calls and thoughts first. Also want to let you know about HealthExcellenceSelect.com. You don't, believe it or not, don't have to have health insurance. In fact, Health Excellence Select is freedom from health insurance. You go there and get signed up, you and your family. There's a free market healthcare company. It's healthexcellenceselect.com. They'll give you a proactive health assessment daily and no charge 24-hour access to doctors, including doctors like traditional, integrative, chiropractic, acupuncture, and massage. You can check them out right now at healthexcellenceselect.com. They'll even give you a medical information card that you can give to EMS, first responders, the emergency room, or whatever medical professional you want. Once again, it's healthexcellenceselect.com. Ian and Mark in the studio, we go out to Alaska, where it's still the afternoon. Hey, Dick, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, how are you guys doing? I hope you guys aren't hating too much today, especially you, Mark. But
thanks.
I was actually calling about something that y'all were discussing a couple days ago. It was a church, I forget where the church was located, but they won a court case and were able to receive grant money for a playground.
Is it in Nebraska?
I don't remember where it was.
Okay. The Midwest. Go ahead.
But, Ian, you seem to have a problem with the church taking the money and more of a problem than you would if it was just a non-religious non-profit. So I was just curious if you would kind of expand your thinking on that, because I did not understand your reasoning. Why? I mean, I can understand why, in general, you wouldn't think it's okay to take taxpayer dollars because it's stolen money, but to specifically say churches can't receive the benefits of the state that they exist in. I don't understand that.
Sure. Okay, so in this story, it had to do with a playground, and they were getting a grant for a new flooring in the playground, those tire, chunked up tire pieces or whatever. And so, in my opinion, and as a minister in the Shire Free Church, which is a church that is, you know, one of the free church movement, meaning that we're not interested in incorporating with the government if we can at all avoid doing that, because you don't want to ask a favor from what is essentially an evil organization. As we've come, you know, in the last discussion, that's one thing I definitely agree with Mark on, is that together, these individual people who think they're doing the right thing, when they come together and they use power over others, as the government does, results.
Right, and the misguided pursuit of good is how I am defining evil, and yeah. I'm using history as my guide for that definition.
Right, so, you know, to some extent, you're corrupting your organization by asking the government for a favor, whether it's getting a welfare check or whether it is, you know, asking them to I forget what's going with that one. But anyway, it's not good. Oh, yeah, 501c3. That's what I was thinking. A lot of churches get the 501c3 thinking they have to in order to accept tax-deductible contributions. But that's just a straight-up lie. The IRS own code makes it crystal clear that donations to churches, even if they're not 501c3 churches, are still tax deductible. So there's a lot of misinformation out there that motivates these churches to do those things. And when they do it, then surprise, surprise, well, along comes all kinds of restrictions, sort of like the movies that are getting restricted by the military. The churches will get restricted by the government and the things that they can say and the things that they can do. They can't take positions on political issues and candidates if they are the 501c3.
Yeah, and it seems ridiculous to me that an organization that is intended to be a moral guide would be disallowed from taking a position on a politician. Right, like a politician, the suggestion there is that it is leading us, the nation, you know, the country, whatever, on a moral path, and to disallow an organization that is intended to be a moral guide from giving suggestions on
That's
who would
disturbing.
Be the best, you know, leader to lead people yeah. on a moral path is ridiculous.
Right, and I don't consider politicians to be leaders.
Nor do I. You know. But this is what is laid in front of us.
Yeah. So you get all these restrictions that come along. I mean, because it's the government. There's never a It's very rare that you're going to get some sort of handout from the government that doesn't come with a bunch of strings attached to it. And so regardless of the strings, even if they aren't strings attached, which would be very unusual, you're still dealing with money that came from a stolen source. And so, I mean, I think generally churches should not be doing that sort of thing. But beyond that, there's also the point that churches have the benefit, sort of a unique benefit, of not being taxed. Now,
501c3 organizations aren't taxed too. It's just that they have
they're still a creature of the state, though, at that point.
Sure.
So, you know, again, one of the perks of a church is that there's no taxation. And so therefore, if you're not paying into the system, you really shouldn't be taking money out of the system.
But everybody who makes up the church.
I disagree with a few points there.
Okay.
One is that churches don't pay taxes, and when we're talking about the Free Church, I think it was Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Monday night. You'd mentioned that you have you're incorporated in some form, but that's really just a folder that you use to communicate with the state, and your actual church body is you and the rest of the Shire Free Church, and the folder and the incorporation is not. So I would say
that's
that most churches are the same, like the church I attend, and I'm assuming this church in Nebraska or whatever. The people are the church, and their community is the church. And those people, as part of the church, they certainly pay taxes. Now, maybe they write off some of their donations, but
I get what you're saying. So you're saying the members of the church that are paying taxes, they may want that for their church, and therefore they want their tax dollars to go to that church. I see the argument. I see what you're saying. And I don't think that, you know, if that's what they want to do with themselves, that's fine. But to me, I think the government's a corrupting influence. And
I would agree, but I don't think that, I think that argument could be made for any charity or any 501c3, and to specifically say that it would be worse for a church to do it because they have some exemptions and some benefits. I mean, would you be okay with a church, you know, calling the fire department if they had a fire in their building and accepting government assistance then, or is that a corrupting influence? Would you be against that?
You make an interesting point there, and I think that, you know, the thing you gotta point out there is you don't have anyone else you can call in those instances, right? There's not another fire company in most places. There are some private fire departments, like out in California, that service very, very wealthy neighborhoods.
Well, there's other volunteer and basically privately funded fire departments.
Right, and I wouldn't say there would be anything wrong with the church giving a donation to support the things that they want to support. So if they support the fire department, to donate some of the church funds to that fire department, which would make that relationship a little bit more understandable in that case. But I think, you know, you're making an argument. There's always an argument to, you know, take the pieces of silver, right, that are being offered. And sometimes they can feel very persuasive.
You can't avoid the pieces of silver in some cases.
There's
like
no doubt.
Like driving on the roads.
Yeah. Hey, Dick, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. You can join us on the radio and take control of the airwaves here, 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Free Talk Live, you dial on in toll free, take control of the airwaves, bring up whatever you want here on Free Talk Live with Ian
and Mark.
Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Hope.freetalklive.com. That is where you can go to get behind the project, Mark, that you've been spearheading here and doing a great job with it, helping connect a orphanage, or what will be an orphanage, in Jinja, Uganda,
right,
with people who want to support that orphanage. I mean, they've got a place that they're storing these children right now, but that's about all you can really say about it.
Yeah, it isn't good.
It's more like a storage locker where they're just laying on the floor in there. So you're talking about a major upgrade, right?
Yeah, this is essentially a building that will be theirs. It is being constructed in a fashion that will last for generations of orphans that go through there. And this is the area of the world that, you know, it hasn't been great before. It isn't great now. And I'm just going to go ahead and go out on a limb that in the next generation or so, it's still probably not going to be great.
Yeah.
There's war, AIDS, Ebola. The list isn't good. The things that are going on in Uganda. All I'm trying to do is provide a place for, at this point, about 45 orphans to be able to. There'll be some room for growth in this, just in case that's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Not a huge, not doubling of the orphans, but some room for growth. So that they can take in, like some amount of kids. I haven't got a number for you right now, but it's a good question. I should ask that of Ndifuna next time I talk to him.
Okay.
That they would have a bed, a bed to sleep on, a springy kind of bed to sleep on, a locker or closet or foot locker or something to put their stuff in, whatever their stuff might be, things that they can call their own. And a place to wash their face, take a bath, and a little place to study so that they can go to school. That's it. That's what we're talking about here. And it's really pretty affordable. We're talking about $25,000 for a two-story building that's going to hold Ndifuna, a couple of people that are helping to take care of these kids, and then 45 orphans. If you can imagine putting up 60 people, a building that's going to hold 60 people for $25,000, it's ridiculous. Now, this is going to have electricity, so they're going to be able to turn on lights to do their studying and that sort of thing. And we're doing the electricity. I've just funded the money to get started on the electrical wiring. They need to do some stuff before they pour concrete in for the second floor right now, and I'm raising money so that we can start getting copper wiring and all that stuff. All you have to do is go to hope.freetalklive.com. Again, it's hope.freetalklive.com. Your funds will be matched once
twice.
By... Yes, twice. Once by Cell411, so at getcell411.com,
yes.
And once by Jax, the official wallet of Free Talk Live at jax.io.
Awesome.
So there
Amazing.
You go. Please, help.
All right, so that's hope.freetalklive.com. Our toll-free number here tonight, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. So I want to get back into the hate and pity conversation, or the what you were saying, Mark, was something to the effect of, if you don't hate the government, what was it? If you don't hate the government,
I would
you're
say
stupid.
That that you have negative that you have a sort of a view that negative emotions are bad. And
no, I didn't say that. I said that staying in a place of hate or a place of anger is not good for you.
Ian,
it's not good.
I concur with you that staying in a place of sort of seething hate is mm-hmm. not going to benefit you, that it's going to cause you to make sort of rash decisions and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
But to...
probably make you feel ill, too.
How would you describe the feeling that one would have towards an organization, in this case we're talking about the CIA, who is influencing Americans... television programs, it's TV programs, it is using our tax money mm-hmm. to directly go contrary to its charter, which says that it will not work within the continental, within the United States, within the borders of the United States. It is intended to work outside of the borders of the United States to further the goals of the American people or whatever.
Reason enough to be abolished right there.
Yeah. So that organization is operating in contrast with its charter. We know this. I mean, this isn't a surprise.
Sure. It's the history of the organization at this point.
Yeah, the American people have had enough warning about what the CIA is about. How are you supposed to feel about an organization like that? What's the emotion the most righteous emotion that one should have regarding?
I wouldn't tell anybody what emotions they should have. If you want to stay in a place of anger and hatred, that is completely your choice. But I don't think it's good for you to do that. I think that the suggestion here has been that you've got to feel hate and anger to be motivated. And I don't agree with that. Would you deny, Mark, that I'm one of the probably the busiest activists, in the libertarian community in New Hampshire as far
sure.
as doing activism is
sure.
concerned? So therefore, obviously, I'm able to be motivated by not being hateful and not being anger filled. Right. I can get stuff done.
I think you have focused your hate and anger into a far more positive realm than most people have successfully.
But I don't
done.
Have hate and anger to focus. I don't hold on to any of those things. If I find myself feeling angry, I want to reject those feelings. I want to let those things go so I can let that pass and get back to a place of peace.
Can you describe the feeling that you have that motivates you to work so diligently against an organization that is, obviously
I wouldn't say I work against
contrary
anything.
To American freedom.
I would like to say that I work in favor of things like peace, in favor of love and
but
forgiveness.
But effectively, that is working against the state, right?
Well, I guess it just depends on how you want to look at it, Mark. I don't like the idea of going up against things. I'm not interested in conflict. I understand you and others don't believe that. But I'm really not. I'd rather just, people be left alone and live free when they want to go up against the activists who believe in peace and liberty. Then, there needs to be a response. There needs to be people be held accountable. There needs to be video. There needs to be publicity. We need to get that out there. But I'm motivated by a future that I want to see. I'm motivated by good things that I envision for the future, seceding from the United States and the potential peace and prosperity that having more autonomy over one's life and choices and the state government and all that we could have as a result of that. It's the positive things that motivate me. I understand that there are negative things out there that can be motivating, like when you see police abuse, a lot of people want to take action. They want to do something about that. But when they take that action, in a lot of cases, they're still coming from that place of hatred, that place of anger, and that's when you get people, you know, shouting at the cops and, you know, maybe not making as positive an impact
as
they could.
Like, people should do this or people should feel this way. What I'm
If they want to get rid of hate and anger, if they want to stay there, then again, by all means, you know, it's your ulcer or whatever.
Well, I have you appear to be trying to make an end run around a point that I have already made. So let's go ahead and let me remake the point, shall we? That point is that positive emotions are, by and large, not particularly motivating. Things like
maybe not to you.
Peace, love, contentment, you know, these sorts of things. These feelings are feelings that are sort of like, hey, things are good. I needn't do anything right now.
What about
now.
The desire for peace? Is that a negative emotion?
I think that is, you know, like I would say that either one of two things is happening here. Somehow you've masked it and you're operating, through a, looking at your hate through a different lens. Or...
it's revealing how you look at these things, right? Because you have, as admittedly, been a pretty angry guy. You've said you don't go out to, you don't go out to cop block, for instance, because you're worried you're going to hit somebody, mainly a cop, because you can't control yourself.
If they're doing something that I would consider to be wrong, illegal, evil, you know, these sorts of things.
So you're viewing me through your perspective, which is the only thing you can do, and I don't have the same, you know... system is you, man.
You didn't even listen to you let me say what my second option
was. You can say it
was.
Here in a moment. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves here. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free here to bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well, so Skype on in here at Skype username lrn.fm. We're talking about emotions and the negative ones, more specifically, that some people really seem to defend, I guess, enjoy. Yeah, maybe some people really love feeling hatred and feel that it benefits them. I've certainly heard people claim that it's their hatred and their anger that motivates them to do things. And hey, you know, whatever floats your boat, if that's what works for you, then, you know, great. But if you're looking for more internal peace, then hatred and anger are not a place to stay. So anyway, you were making some sort of point you wanted to
Point. Yeah. I make my points best when they're dismissed by you. So the... the point I'm trying to make here, Ian, is that negative emotions are motivating. Positive emotions tend not to be. Like, you know, a positive emotion can motivate you. I'm just saying that negative emotions tend to be far more motivating. We would all still be sleeping out under the trees right now if we felt positive emotions all the time. Like, it's the discomfort of rain, the fear of lightning, the concern of your baby being washed away in a flash flood that has us living in houses today, right?
Sure.
It's the discomfort of walking your butt to work that gets people to create things like cars and bicycles and all these things. So my I think my point is quite valid, is that negative emotions are more motivating than positive emotions.
Sure, absolutely. But if you're motivated by the weather or, you know, the elements or a tiger or whatever it is that is a threat to you and you want to build a hut or house of some sort to protect your family or yourself, then, you know, are you going to be in a place of fear and anger the entire time you're up there swinging a hammer? No, you might be thinking about how great it's going to be when you can, you know, keep those things away and have warmth and have the relative safety and the positive sides of whatever it is that you're creating there. So I guess it just depends. I mean, I think that can be a motivating thing, is, you know, the good things that are going to come out of what you're doing or what you're activism or creation is.
I don't disagree with any of those things. Yeah. What I'm saying is that it's the negative emotion that spurs it, right?
Fine.
And then it moves on into something else. And I think
that's
you
the
would
moving
agree.
On that I was advocating. I'm not advocating staying. We're human beings Negative emotions happen. It's part of the, you know, the spectrum of experiencing life. You're going to feel angry at some point. You're going to be upset at whatever, you know, might be upsetting. It's just, do you stay there? I say it's a bad idea to stay in those places. And I would say it's a good idea to get out of those emotions as quickly as possible because they don't do you any good in the long run.
Okay, so
do you disagree?
Do you any good? I don't know if they do you any good. I would say that they can eat you up.
Yeah, that sounds like a bad thing.
That would be a better terminology that I would prefer to use. However, I think that it can be difficult for people, especially in the area of sort of fighting, right? When you're trying to get – when it's groups of people vying for opposing things that, you know – it's difficult to move beyond whatever sort of malice and hatred and, you know, these other feelings that...
Sure, it is difficult. Very few things in life worth doing are easy. So, yes, overcoming hatred, overcoming the...
It is probably easier
tendency
to choose not to vie against another group than it is to figure out what, and you can't even name this space in which you occupy that makes you the one of the most prolific activists, I'm going to say, on the planet.
Oh, please.
Well, you said that you were – you agreed that you were one of the most prolific in New Hampshire, right?
Probably, yeah.
And where are the most prolific activists?
Well, libertarian activists are in New Hampshire.
Okay. I'm sorry. If I didn't say libertarian activists, pardon me. But frankly, even if you're compared to all other activists everywhere, every minute of your day appears to be focused this. Well, to lesser or greater extent.
But I do get to do as much as I would like to because that's kind of what I do.
And you can't even describe the feeling that you have that motivates you. So what I'm saying is that it can be extraordinarily difficult to move from the places of...
When did I say I couldn't describe it? I mean, it's dedication.
Yet. Okay, dedication. Yeah. Dedication isn't an emotion. It's a description of action.
Well, I mean, I've seen all kinds of things that I don't agree with, and I want to see the world change for the better. I want to do what little bit I can to have some sort of, you know, influence on making things better out there. And so I do the various different things that I feel like I can do most effectively to forward those things. It's just a day-to-day dedication, a task, essentially, that I've set myself to as part of my mission in life at this point. Is there an emotion that is associated with getting out of bed and just doing activism in the morning? No, it's just a routine.
I think you've assigned yourself this as a task, right? This is your mission.
That's right.
And now it's not an emotion. You take on your mission with as many positive emotions as you possibly can for your own mental well-being.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Right, because it's bad to be in a place of anger and hatred.
The difficulty that people might have with this is that many people are going to feel the anger, the hatred, the malice, the upset with regard to, you know, the government, government and
some
its
people feel those things about me.
They do.
They don't like my activism or whatever.
Absolutely. They do.
Their problem.
Some of them are statists.
Yeah. They're the ones who have to live with all that anger and hatred. I feel sorry for them.
The vast majority of them don't do anything from an activist standpoint.
They
or
complain.
Do very, very little.
Yeah, they complain.
Okay. So
some people apparently were bad-mouthing Keene the other night. A couple folks moved to the Keene area, and they were at the New Movers party, and they got scoffed at when they said they were from Keene.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's all I'm trying to say is that it's very easy to sort of be upset.
I'm not upset about it. It's just
I'm
sad.
I'm not saying you are.
Yeah.
I'm saying that it is easy to be upset. And
sure it is.
To not know what to do with that. One of the reasons that I refuse to
channel it into something positive,
certain forms of activism is I simply do not trust myself to do those forms of
activism.
It's good
to know thyself.
Right. Yeah. And the reason I don't trust myself is because I believe I will get caught up in negative emotions in the process. And I don't want to set the activism back. I want to help move it forward. I think that I am best qualified to do the activism that I currently do, which is to, you know, do sales for Free Talk Live and help keep this particular organization moving forward, well funded and able to spread the ideas of liberty far and wide. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best use of my time. However,
do you do all that because you're angry?
Nope.
Okay,
I
good.
Do that because, look, I've created a job for myself, and it pays. You know, you have created a job for yourself, and it doesn't, and that, you know, that doesn't matter to you as far as a motivation goes. It would matter to me.
Uh-huh.
So that's all I'm saying here, Ian, is that negative emotions should not necessarily be poo-pooed at every turn. They
no,
have
you can't
value.
Eliminate them, but you shouldn't stay in them.
I would agree.
It's unhealthy, in my opinion. So anyway, if you want to share your thoughts, you're welcome to join us here. 855-450-FREE, like freedom, as we continue here. So a little bit more about the CIA while we're, because we only have a couple moments left here. They have managed to censor scripts in television, movies. On Zero Dark 30, screenwriter Mark Boal verbally shared his script with CIA officers, and they removed a scene where a drunk CIA officer fires an AK-47 into the air from a rooftop in Islamabad.
That would never happen.
Removed the use of dogs from the torture scenes. In a very different kind of film, the hugely popular romantic comedy Meet the Parents, Brandon is the CIA's executive who decides what stays and what goes in movie scripts. Brandon requested that they change a scene where Ben Stiller's character discovers Robert De Niro's, which is his father-in-law, to be in the movie Secret Hideaway. In the original script, Stiller finds CIA torture manuals on a desk, but Brandon changed that to photos of De Niro with various dignitaries. Indeed, the CIA's ability to influence, and by the way, you know, like that would have been a lot more intimidating, right? Like to come across your father-in-law has torture manuals on his desk.
But yeah, sure.
They got rid of that aspect of the plot. Indeed, the CIA's ability to influence movie scripts goes back to their early years. In the 1940s and 50s, they managed to prevent any mention of themselves appearing in film and TV until North by Northwest in 1959. This included rejecting requests for production support, meaning that some films were never made, and censoring all references to the CIA in the script for the Bob Hope comedy My Favorite Spy. The CIA even sabotaged a planned series of documentaries about their predecessor, the OSS, by having assets at CBS develop a rival production to muscle the smaller studio out of the market. Once this was achieved, the agency pulled the plug on the CBS series, too, ensuring the activities of the OSS remain safe from public scrutiny.
There you go.
What machinations. We've got the full article we'll post for you over on the Facebook and the Twitter for Free Talk Live, and you can check out the rest of the dirty details, and they've got a book, too. Again, it's National Security Cinema, and we'll see you tomorrow night online in the meantime, freetalklive.com.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.